Good morning, church family. We have some visitors with us. I was told by someone, I think we have somebody from Brazil. So I was planning to say, bom dia. But no, I should say buenos dias, because the family actually is Hispanic. And so it's not a Portuguese. But to all of you, we ask God to bless you, and you have been blessing us, but choose to be here this morning. The scripture that we are reading, last week we talked about holiness, the tools for holiness, but I never realized how comprehensive, how big this topic is. Sadly, I have noticed, I have read some articles, some pastors are having the same difficulty that I have, meaning many people do not, even though they come to church almost every week, they do not comprehend what it means to be holy. Sometimes we are even confused with the terminology, what is holy, what is not holy. We feel comfortable to call somebody a saint, but we feel uncomfortable to call somebody holy. Why is the difference? Because the words are the same. It's just meaning if I say something with a different tone, it's okay. But if I say understanding what it implies, it's not okay. So I know I have been calling you holy people for quite a while. And I hope you're getting used to the word holy, because where you're going, you're going to hear that all the time. Every day, all the time. So my intention is for you to get used to it. I know that sometimes people don't want to be called holy, because they say, if I call myself holy, that is kind of arrogance. Yes, it is, if you think you're holy because of the things you do. If you think that you are making yourself holy, you're making yourself just a fool. That's basically what it is. Holiness cannot be attained by our doing. Holiness is about being, not doing. Those that are, do. But those that do, don't become. If you understand what I'm saying. Many people understand that if I do this, if I walk, if I do, if I talk, if I study, I will be holy. That's not the way. And I hope that our studies that we are presenting to you will help you to have a better and closer relationship with God. Then you feel what it means to be holy. The title today for the message, The Tools of Holiness, Part 2. And by the way, there is a Part 3. Why? Because as I was preparing this this message, I couldn't contain myself. I keep adding things. I kept adding things. And then I realized they're not going to stay here in church until 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I have to make sure that so we have to save the third part for next week, okay? So it is not the best part, but it's very close to the best next week as well. Now, some of you may have heard of this word. This is a Hebrew word, kodesh. If I ask those of you here, please do not raise your hand. Don't do this. But if I ask you, how many of you here have going through this book, the Bible, from cover to cover, have read the Bible one time, two times, few times? Some of you may say, yeah, I have going through the Bible a few times. There are some people that have the habit to go through the Bible every year. I have met one lady once that she was known by the people in the church and outside of the church as Maria of the Bible, Mary of the Bible. And they were not talking about the mother of Jesus. They were talking about her. Why? Because she read her Bible since she became a Seventh-day Adventist every single year without skipping one year. So you say something to her, she'll say, oh, that's Deuteronomy 10, 15. You'll say something else, she said, oh, that's Psalms 22. Verse 3, she would know every single, she had memorized everything in the Bible because she read every single year since she became Seventh-day Adventist. But there is one thing that many people read the Bible and do not understand. For example, how many of you here have read Leviticus 11? Quite a few of you. How many of you here have read the whole book of Leviticus? If you read the book of Leviticus, you will say the book is about what? Clean and unclean. That's basically what people think about, right? But if you really are very close to the text, you realize that the whole book is about holiness. The whole book of Leviticus, and there are hundreds of times this word appears in the book of Leviticus. This word is the word holy. It means to set apart, meaning like God says, this is mine, so I'll put apart here. Then also sacred, sanctified. Some of you are more familiar with some of these words. Pure, consecrated, clean, hallowed, and the list goes on. But I mentioned a few here because many people do not associate the word pure with holiness. Many people do not associate eating healthy with holiness. They think that how you eat is just a matter of choice. And only this church that I know quite a few other churches. I studied them, I visited them, I talked to some people of them. No church that I have been aware of has the concept of holiness the way the Seventh-day Adventist does. But the question is, do we live up to what we know? Holy in the Bible is to be set apart, is to be sanctified. A state of belonging to God, we mentioned this last week, acts of a perfect morality. In a very moral world, this is a topic. Now I can understand why some people hate holy people. A reflection of God's image, character, and of course, a life of holiness is a total devotion to God. There is no compromise. You cannot belong to God 99.99. Or you are belong to God or you don't. God does not accept 99.99. What is biblical holiness? The Bible states that God's holiness is the essence of what He is. There is only way you can become holy if you decided, I want to be like my Father. God is holy, and then what? God is perfect. There is no evil in Him. The devil has convinced many people, even some theologians and some pastors, to preach a God that is good and evil. Some of you here are Asians. Are you familiar with a circle that is half black and half white? What do you call that? Yin yin, right? What is that? Why is in a circle? Anybody understand why is in a circle? Is to try to say it's one, is a unity. But why half is one color and half is the other one? Is because one half it represents good and the other one represents evil. And the concept is the two, good and evil, is part of one God. That thought has infiltrated even into those that call themselves Christians. There are people that are even Seventh-day Adventists that has attribute to God aspects of the evil one. They make God the destroyer and also the creator. They make God the good but also the evil. And so we need to understand God, there's no possibility for God to be light and darkness at the same time. God cannot be good and evil at the same time. So God is holy. He cannot be clean and unclean. Because the Bible says clean is holy. Cleanness is holy. By the way, If you are one of those that do not like water that much, this sermon may make you feel uncomfortable, because I'm going to be talking about being clean. Water outside, water inside. Your system needs to be clean inside and needs to be clean outside. And believe me, it will be good for those that are your companion. Those that are related to you, they have to be around you. Take shower. And now, it's good to be clean. It's an aspect of holiness, is to be clean. So God is holy, God is perfect. There is no evil in Him. There is no imperfection in Him. There is no uncleanness in Him. We were created to share His image, His holiness, His perfection. We are created to be like Him. Holy Word. There are a few holy things in the Bible. If you look, you can say, oh, there the Bible says holy the Word, holy the law, holy the temple. There are quite a few, and we're going to start showing some of you. Holy Word. How many of you here brought a Bible to the church? Some of you are going to be a little bit shy about it. Quite a few. But why not everybody? So I said, well, Pastor, it's not needed because you put everything on the screen. It's so easy. I don't need to open the Bible and check. Some of you may know this, and some of you are about to hear about this. When you see something once, it gives a great probability for your brain to remember. But if you see on the screen and then you open your Bible, you have a greater chance now to remember, because your brain received two gifts instead of one. You saw and you saw. But when you take your Bible and you go and say, oh, let me mark this. Or you can take, like somebody's doing here right now, you take your phone and take a picture and then go and visit that picture and read again. Pray about it. Remember the Bereans, they were called noble. Why noble? You're going to hear me say something here that you never heard before. Because they were not lazy. That's the way I understand. They were not lazy. They came to listen. They took notes and they went home and they pray about, they asked the Holy Spirit to come upon them, and they said, God, this is about you. Guide us. We want to be like you. So is it so? And they checked. And they checked. Salvation for them was very important. And that's why, until this day, we call them noble. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. What does the Bible say that truth is? The word is truth, right? The Bible says Jesus is truth. The Bible says God is truth. The Bible says the word is truth. And the Bible says that you are truth if you belong to God. So the truth is not just belonging to a denomination. Truth is not to say, I'm a member of the remnant church. I have the truth. Believe me, if you have the truth, but you don't live with the truth, you have no truth at all. Now, how can young people keep their lives pure? What the word pure means again? Holy. So, young people, this verse, I put it thinking about you. How can these young, good-looking people that came to our church today, how can they continue being good-looking if they remain pure, if they remain holy? And how do you become holy? By obeying God's commands. It continues. Next verse, it says, with all my heart, I will try to serve you. Keep me from disobeying your commandments. Why? I don't want to be unholy. I don't want to be unclean. Do you know in the Bible who is called unclean? and his bunch, and all the demons, the Bible call unclean spirits. We have the Bible text later on. I keep your law in my heart, so I will remain clean. The law is here, the body is clean. But if the law is not inside of you, you become unclean. And what is unclean again? Unholy. And what is unholy? Ungodly. Without God. And what happens to somebody without God? You're dead. I told you many times, you had enough of this, I will repeat again. My life changed when somebody put a Bible in my hand. And the moment that I received that Bible, my life was not transformed. It was transformed after I read the Bible. And I was so hungry that I read from Genesis to all the way to Revelation. And I enjoy, and I have been doing since then. All the scripture is inspired by God. If you go, depending on what church you go, they do not like the A-L-L in the beginning of this text. They say that the Bible is from here to here. This is the Jewish stuff. Do you know how they manipulate all of us to say what they believe? How many of you here call this the Old Testament? All of us, right? Why do you think they name it old? They meant clearly to send a message that is useless, obsolete. You go to some churches, they say, oh, we don't worship that Levitical stuff, that's Jewish stuff. Or the Sabbath, that's Jewish stuff. That God that is so angry, that is Jewish God. Our God is Jesus. And Jesus established Sunday as the new day for us to go to church. Where? I don't know, but he did. And Jesus said, I can eat pork, I can eat shrimp, I can eat all that trash, and I'm still going to be clean. Where? I don't know, but he did say. And they feast on that uncleanness, and they become filled as their appetite is. And they think that it's okay. What is said is when somebody claimed to be Seventh-day Adventist and is still eating that stuff. They are making fool of themselves. All these scriptures, brothers and sisters, when Jesus Christ was speaking to the devil, to the unclean spirit, he didn't say, wait, the New Testament has not been written yet. When it is finished, then I'll be able to say, it is written. No, he said, it is written. Men, meaning men and women, shall live by the word. He didn't mean the New Testament because it was not there yet. He meant the word. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to be in a closet, to be as a decorative thing on my desk. I used to sell books to pay my college. And each vacation, we had to go to a different state, a different place, and we visit many homes, and we share then the books that we have to sell. And sometimes we got to a home, and we knew a Seventh-day Adventist has come by here because I could see there the Great Controversy series wrapped the same way was delivered many years before. It was there. They put in a bootcase so beautiful. It looks great. They never touch it. And what he said, some of them bought Bibles and put the same way, with the same wrap, is still right there in a bookshelf. Probably some of you here, quite a few of you have Bibles in your home. I have quite a lot of Bibles, many different versions. But the question is, are they any good if they stay there closed. All the scriptures is inspired by God. This is God's word. This is a holy book. It needs to have a holy approach to it. And I use it for teaching the truth, rebuking what is wrong, and correcting everything that is wrong. And also by giving instructions how to live a holy life. That's basically what he's saying. For the right living means the holy life. This is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. This is a good news translation because sometimes it's a more modern, as long as it doesn't sacrifice the essence of the text, I like to use a more modern version. Holy time. Holy time. The Bible talks about holy. The first time the Bible mentioned holy, what do you think the Bible talks about? The first time the word holy appears in the Bible? The Sabbath. I read one article in one magazine called The Recorder. You receive The Recorder? Some of you do. There was this individual that he was working for the post office. He took the post office, the government, to court. Why? Because the government did not allow him to go to church on Sunday. And beautiful. I thought the whole thing was beautiful that he took the government to court to have the right to go to church on Sunday. It shocked me a little bit because the Seventh-day Adventist Church brought up their lawyers also to join, as they call the amigus, as a friendly, to the court, to join the. And they were there, and I can understand a Seventh-day Adventist defending somebody's right to worship, because when you defend everybody's rights, that means including you, you have your rights too. But what caught my attention, and some of you may say, Pastor, you're being too picky, Pastor. But I can't help myself. I was reading the article, and then I noticed that the article, this is written by a leader in our church. In the article, he said that it was a great victory for this individual because he won the right to his Sunday Sabbath. Have you seen anything wrong with what I just said? In our magazine, written only for Seventh-day Adventists, basically for Seventh-day Adventists, church members, this individual wrote that this was a great victory for this individual because he earned the right to observe his Sunday Sabbath. Is there such a thing? Is it possible for Sunday to be Sabbath ever?
No.
What about Friday? What about our million or billion of Muslims? Don't they have the right to have their Friday Sabbath? Now let me be picky on you. You're not going to like this, but here it comes. Is it any different when you call the Sabbath Saturday?
No.
Isn't it the same thing?
No.
You see, a lie infiltrates the truth with the only purpose to replace it, to confuse. So, brothers and sisters, before we talk about the Sabbath, you must understand, Sabbath, there is only one. Only one day is the Sabbath. And here is why. Genesis 2, verse 2 and 3, New King James says, and on the seventh day, which day?
Seventh.
Oh, but that depends where you start counting, somebody will say. If you start counting on Monday, then it becomes Sunday. Oh, yes, even some Seventh-day Adventists agree with that because they say the weekend. And they put Sunday as the end of the week. Whoops, you just move Sunday to Sabbath. And suddenly here Sunday becomes Sabbath because you just moved. And many calendars, some of you here are familiar with calendars that already made that change. They see the first day as Monday. And then guess, even I was talking, last time I talked about this with the people that speak Swahili, they have noticed the influence when they call the Sabbath, what is the first day, right? They have some kind of expression as the position where they put the it happens. And on the seventh day, God ended his work with he has done. And he did what?
Rested.
What is the word rest means? He allocated himself to a position of permanency. He stopped. Where did he stop? Look at the word Sabbath. There are quite a few of them in the bulletin. Where did God rest? On the seventh day. He made a name and he put his name right there, Abba. Right in the middle of the word Sabbath, Abba. That's where he rested and that's where he is until today. The only way the Sabbath is holy is because God is there. If you take God out and put Saturn instead, the day is no longer holy. What makes the day holy is the presence of God. Do you all remember here when Moses saw this bush that he thought was on fire, but it was not on fire, it was just light. And he came. What? Can you blame him? I would do the same thing. What is going on? Fire, bush, no smoke. Something is going on here. So he came. Take off your shoes because you are standing on holy ground. Not really. A bunch of sand. I have been here so many times before. But now was different. What made the difference? God was resting at that place. God was present at that place. And that made it holy. So when God put himself in the middle of the word Sabbath, he says, I make this day holy. And then he says, on the seventh day, again, it starts with the seventh day, say seventh day again to make sure that you don't get confused. Not the first, the seventh. I was listening to someone speak on the news a few years ago. And was somebody from the Church of Rome. You know, the guy that dressed all in white, they call him Abba. They call, I don't. But some people call him Papa or Pope or, you know, a blasphemy. That's exactly what the Bible says, a blasphemy. And so they call him, you know. And then it says, he said, he used this verse. On the television, he said this verse, and God, on the first day, he took the Lord seven and put the first day. On the first day, God rested, and he blessed the first day. And I said, is anybody around the world listening to this? And why does he get away with it? Because he speaks to people who do not know their Bible. Or have convinced not to look at it. 7 days. 1, 2, 3, 4. Do you count until seven? Oh, my granddaughter, she already counted for a minute. She knows what the seventh is. Even a children knows. Then God blessed. The word blessed also can imply sanctified. Okay? If you are blessed, you are sanctified. So God blessed. He sanctified the seventh day. And sanctified again. And there will be again. Triple blessing to the day. He blessed. He sanctified. He rest. All three of them means the same thing. He made it holy. Special. Because God created. Remember Abba's day. The Bible is talking about Abba's day. Not Sunday. Not a Saturday, He talked about Abba's day. Some of you may not know, but the original, it has one B. In English, we don't, the word Sabbath is not English. It is Hebrew transliterated. I don't know if that's the correct word to say, but we try to make into an English sound. But the word Shabbat has a B. Why we have in English double B is to make sure that we understand that that is the strong B. It's not the V. Some of you are Hispanics. Sometimes you are confused between the sound when people say, you say, is B corta? You get confused because the sound is almost the same. The same thing in Hebrew. When you hear a person speaks in Hebrew, the B and the V is the sound is so close that people get it confused. In Portuguese, we don't have that problem. When we say V and we say B, you know, B e V. But if you're some language, they confuse this. So that's why they double the B, so to make sure that it's a B sound and not a V. And so the B here means a house, a sanctuary. Do you know what the word sanctuary means? Can you hear the name sanctuary? A holy place. The word sanctuary means a holy place. And some people misuse today in our culture. They use the word sanctuary to make it a political issue, and they decide to. That's sad. But to keep, remember the Sabbath. Remember Abba, to keep it holy. Remember Sabbath to keep it holy. Exodus 20, verse 8. Very clear. So the B here is a sanctuary. So God not only came to the Sabbath, but He made the Sabbath a sanctuary in time. The Sabbath is a sanctuary in time. And that's what God is calling attention for us to. Worship. How many days should we worship? Only on Sabbath? There are people out there, and some of them, I met some of them, they talked to me and said, Pastor, they didn't call me Pastor, okay? But they said, Edelson, every day belongs to God. Every day is holy. Have you heard that before? That is not an excuse to make every day a day of rest, because they didn't want to go starve. And by the way, there will be no church over there for you to say, oh, give me a dollar. They said, go to work. Go get a job. We do not expect to rest every day. God says for us to rest one day and work six. And He gave us six for us to be preoccupied with ourselves. And He says one day is for you to be preoccupied with something that's above you. And that is the Sabbath. Isaiah 58:13. Many Seventh-day Adventists wish that this verse would never be in the Bible. Especially those that goes to activities that are not kosher on the Sabbath. Anyone here can give me an idea. What is an activity that is not kosher for the Sabbath? It's not proper for the Sabbath. Restaurants. To go into a restaurant. Oh, Pastor. You spoiled my day. What about saying, let's go to a special trip because we don't work on the Sabbath, so why don't we use that day to start our trip? And we go to trips. Some people say, what about if I pay the restaurant in advance? Yeah, I better stop here. If you turn away your foot, yes, your big foot that always gives you trouble, your big foot from the Sabbath. Why is this case God is saying your foot? Because our foot gives us a lot of trouble. We go to places where we don't belong, especially on the Sabbath. from doing your pleasure on my holy. Oh, I forgot to put gasoline yesterday. Oh, I have to go somewhere. I need to put gasoline today. Brothers and sisters, I don't pick up my mail on the Sabbath. I cannot stop the individual from delivering the mail on the Sabbath. I don't have no control on that. But if I go to the mailbox and pick up the mail on the Sabbath, that individual is working for me. So I pick my mail after the Sabbath. Somebody say, but Pastor, what about if they steal your mail? I better be with the Almighty One than any junk that comes to my mailbox. After the Sabbath, I go and take the mail. Oh, but there is another way. Satan already knows these things. So what he does, he said, bling, 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 notice to your phone. So you go to those messages because they want for you to take your mind and concentrate in your needs instead of God's needs. Don't check your emails. Don't let the devil get into your life, control your life that much. You spend time with the Lord all the Sabbath because it belongs to Him. It says, and call the Sabbath delight. Oh, when is the sunset? Mom, when is the sunset? I want to watch the game. I want to watch the U.S. Open final. I want to listen. When is sunset? I like to start the Sabbath before the sunset and close the Sabbath after sunset because I want to send a message to the enemy. I have pleasure to be God's property. I like to be His. The holy day of the Sabbath is honorable. What it means, honorable? They deserve a special treatment. Deserves a place in my life higher than anything else. And shall honor Him. Him what? You have noticed, right? I always do. Everything that is with God, I call your attention to it. I put a collar so that it will put in your mind. It is there, Him, the Lord, not doing your own ways, not finding your own pleasure. And this is the one. Don't talk about politics of the Sabbath. Don't talk about how to fix your house, how to fix your cars. Don't talk about those things. Don't talk about things that will take your mind away from God. You shall keep my Sabbaths and do what? What does that mean? Anybody ever thought about this before? I'd like for you, those of you that brought your Bible, those of you, grab it, please. Those that have your Bibles, please, grab your Bible. I'd like to give you a suggestion. You may not accept, that's fine, still friends. Take a pen and mark this verse in your Bible. Because this verse is more important than you may think it is. I'll tell you why. You probably already seen, but if you haven't, I'll tell you why. What do you see in this text? If you look at it, you shall keep my Sabbaths. Whose Sabbaths belong to? Abba is right there, very clear. But here comes the word reverence. What does the word reverence mean? Respect. But what kind of respect? A respect that only something that is holy should receive. That's why in Assembly Adventist Church, we do not call pastors reverend. Okay? We do not call pastors reverend. But there are some denominations of there, they call pastors reverend. Meaning, I know because there is a text in the Bible that says, and I will use the verse maybe next week, when it says that the pastor is supposed to be holy. But not holy to be worshipped, but holy to represent the one who he is supposed to represent. Okay, in that concept. But reverence to my sanctuary. Is this God's sanctuary? Yes or no? You don't sound very convinced. Is this God's sanctuary, yes or no? What then should we give to this place? Not, I tricked you. It is not the place that needs the reverence. It's the one who is in the place that makes the place sanctuary. It's because he is here. So when you give reverence, you give reverence to the one who makes this place his place. So don't give reverence to the place, but to one that is in the place that makes the place holy. It makes any sense? So when you come inside here, if you think about the place, you will not connect to God. But if you connect to God, you'll be aware of how this place should be revered. Because it is God's place. So my sanctuary, he says, the word sanctuary means this place is holy because Abba is present. But if Abba is not present, this place is not holy. How do you make this place holy? Be aware of his presence. Brothers, I don't know how many of you have noticed. Anyone here have been in a Catholic church before? Some of you. Anyone of you have been a Roman Catholic before? All right? So what do Roman Catholics do when they go to church? They don't bow just inside of the church. They kneel. But the way I was taught when I was in that church, even when we drove by a sanctuary, we would... We'll do that. We were always made aware that that is the place where God's supposed to be. How can the people do not know the word that much, have such a deep, profound respect for the house of God? And we come sometimes in here, please, I'm going to do this, but... I am confident that you are God's holy people, that you know how to forgive, okay? So, but sometimes we come to our temple and sounds more like a market than a church. Everybody's talking, socializing. Brothers and sisters, don't lose the perspective that this is a temple. This is a sanctuary. It is okay for us to be social, to be friendly, but don't forget, where do you stand? This is God's house. This is where Abba meets his holy people. Reverence to my sanctuary. That's why I ask you, please, do you think that this is only qualifies to the temple that was built there in Jerusalem? Or this is true to every single temple. But there is one more point. And this is the point. We are the Holy Spirit's temple. We must have reverence to this sanctuary as well. We are his temple. Holy place. Yes. Look down from your holy place in heaven. And bless your people, Israel. Bless means, again, make them holy. Bless also the rich and the fertile land that you have given us as you promised our ancestors. Meaning, come to our land and our land will be fruitful. Come to my heart and I'll be fruitful. Come to my life and my life will be rich. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. Yes, we are his sanctuary. But I, by your great love, can come into your house in reverence. I bow down towards your holy temple. Psalm 5, verse 7, NIV. We are almost done here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, mark this also in your Bibles. You should know that your body is the place where Abba lives, a Holy Spirit that you receive from God and that lives in you. Did we say, whatever God is holy, right? Yes. Whatever God is, even a bunch of rocks there, a bush that was there, God showed up, it became holy. God is on the middle of the Sabbath is holy. God is in the sanctuary is holy. God is in you, and that makes you what? Don't apologize for it. Recognize that it is his grace that makes possible for him to be in you. And why is he in you? You don't own yourself. You are not your own. I have heard, especially young people, have been taught, this is my life. We're fools. This is my life. I do whatever I want. And some of them immediately start talking to their parents like this. They start dating the wrong person. He says, don't do this. Oh, it's my life. Show them the door and then tell them, yeah, it's your life. Your life goes that way, look. And suddenly it's no longer there. It's my life. I do whatever I want. I'm going to share something here. One of my son, one day came home, and he came with a friend. And the friend had the pants right here, right in the middle. Walking with attitude. Dressed with an attitude. Not covering all his attitudes. And so he came, and I said, young man, put your pants up. Oh, my son was shocked because this is a visitor. He should have a special treatment because he's a visitor. Not here. Put your pants up because you're showing disrespect to my wife, to my daughters, to myself, to yourself, to everybody else. Put your pants up. You can wear your pants whatever you want when you are in your territory. But in a place where we pay the tax. We pay the bills. We have to answer before God to what is done inside of my home because that's my sanctuary. That is something that belongs to God. So I said, put up your pants or go. So he did. And I noticed that my son was started copying him too, and his pants started going a little. Put up your pants. You may laugh a little bit, but you'll be amazed that your children may be pushing you to do exactly the same thing. If you compromise, you are a coward. And cowards raise cowards. When you are afraid of your children, you already lost them. When you are afraid of anybody else, and you put anybody else above God, then you no longer have the courage to be called holy. God paid a very high price for your child, for your children, for you, for all of you, for each one of you. He paid a price because you are so much worth to him that he says, I'm going to go down there, I'm going to dress with humanity, and I will rescue them because I am Abba. I am their child, their father, and I want them to be like me. So honor God with your body and with everything you have. May God bless you richly. Please make plans to be here next Sabbath, because there's more beautiful things about holiness that the Bible has to teach us. And you'll be surprised what much is left about this subject. Now let's stand up and let's sing. We are marching to the Holy Zion. We ask the same ladies to come forward and lead us so that we don't become so far away out of tune.